Your speaker on this program is Brother Jim Gammon.
The place where we work is one of the two or three most important places where we live. Just as we would repair a leaky roof at our house, so we want to keep our workplace in good repair. But how can we improve our workplace? Many things convince us that not all is well in the American workplace. There are an abundance of social and economic problems that are unsettling. Many jobs are being eliminated. Many others are simply being moved out of the country. Some laws are actually forcing us to accept immorality in the workplace. These are areas that are unsettling, but basically they're beyond our control. The remaining problem areas, however, basically concern how we treat each other, and these you and I have a tremendous influence over. Recently, the firm of Glenn Tobe and Associates conducted a survey which they asked supervisors to rank the importance of 10 motivators for their employees. They then went to the employees and asked them to rank the same list in order of what they most wanted from their supervisors. Oddly enough, when they got through, the three things that the supervisors rated the lowest on the scale were the three things which the employees rated the highest. That ought to tell us about the tremendous gap in communication that exists where personal relationships are concerned on the job. Incidentally, the three things that the employees wanted most from their supervisors and from their managers were these. Number three, an understanding attitude. Number two, they wanted to feel in on things. And the number one thing on the employees' list was they wanted to be appreciated by their supervisors and managers. On March the 9th, 1997, WSM Radio in Nashville, Tennessee, carried a program which noted that 46% of all employees who quit list a failure to be appreciated as the number one reason. 46% of all employees who quit say, my boss didn't appreciate me. Now, that also says that they didn't appreciate the boss. If they similarly didn't feel that they were in on things that they had a right to be in on, if they didn't feel they had an understanding attitude emanating their direction from the boss, then it is very easy to see that possibly as many as 3/4 of the people who quit do so because of the atmosphere on the job. Let's look at just what that would cost business. The turnover factor translates into dollars and cents. When we consider the cost of replacing and retraining new employees, then if we realize that the dollars and the cents, whether it cost us $100 to retrain a new employee, or as in some cases it cost $10,000 or more, whether it cost us $100 in lost business during the time we're training or the time we don't have enough employees, or whether it cost us into the thousands, if we could cut that figure in half, or better yet, perhaps cut it by 2/3, simply by improving the atmosphere on the job, then obviously we're talking about improving the atmosphere and almost immediately seeing an improvement in the amount of money that the company makes. Historically, American business has had three stages. In the original stage, the business was composed of owners and their family. Then you came to a stage where business had grown somewhat successfully, and then you began to have more owners and employees. Now today we're basically in a situation where most businesses have owners, they have managers and employees. This is particularly true since 1900, when the trend began, and has accelerated tremendously since then. Now, if owners and managers believe that employees are always untrustworthy, why, the owners and managers tend to create a bad situation because they don't trust anybody from the word go. But by contrast, if they believe that employees are basically wanting good things and they treat them that way, they'll tend to get good results plus a bonus. First of all, they're going to get employees who try to prove that they're trustworthy. And then the bonus is they're going to get employees who will act creatively. Now, creativity is a bonus. Richard Cornvale, in his book, Demanaging America, which he published for Random House several years ago, implied that you can command an employee to turn a nut, but you cannot command him to improve the design of his wrench. One has to wonder how many assembly lines in America would have been improved ages ago if only trustworthiness had fostered the creativity to invent the ratcheting wrench decades before it was done. Surely it is to the advantage of manager and employee alike to improve the atmosphere in the workplace. But how do we do it? In the sixth chapter of his letter to the church at Ephesus, the Apostle Paul gives us instructions. He says, "Servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he's a slave or free. And you masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him." Basically, Paul tells us, treat others as trustworthy, act responsibly, and be pleasant, whether we're an employee, a supervisor, or a manager. In other words, he says, treat the other guy as you would treat the Lord. Now, what does this do if we treat people like this in the workplace? If you are an employer or a manager, you will find that it ultimately creates a bond between you and your employees. The propensity for job switching is so related to boss-subordinate relationships that John Leach and William Murray of the University of Chicago discovered this. A person's decision to change jobs or to move to another organization is often actually a search for a more effective boss. That is, the subordinate is often seeking a more satisfying relationship, a career contract, so to speak, not just salary increases, higher status, and career advancement. The other night on television, I saw a dog trainer show that if you put a dog on the defensive, it became snarling and attacked him, and he did that. And yet, within 10 minutes of beginning to treat the dog kindly, reversing his tactics, in other words, that dog was sitting in his lap wanting his neck scratched. I thought it was a real test because the dog was a pit bull, not known for its gentleness. Now, people are generally like this. Convince them that you're going to treat them fairly and with respect, no telling what, and they'll come to identify with you. Treat them otherwise, and they'll become as defensive as any pit bull that you ever saw. We can enhance the bond we have with our employees through appreciating and defending them, which is often just as important as giving them raises or benefits. In a 30-year study of 57,000 job applicants, industrial research psychologist Clifford Jurgensen studied the factors that mattered most to people about a prospective job. Dr. Jurgensen's findings indicate that people would be happy to accept only an adequate salary if they were doing satisfying work for a supervisor they could trust and who helped them to find purpose and accomplishment in their job. This presents a big difficulty for employers. You see, no one forces the employer to act nice. You can be mean, and for a while at least, you can always get away with it. And generally, as Ebenezer Scrooge illustrates, you can make money doing it. But you can't be respected, and you cannot win the loyalty of your employees if you're treating them like that. Now, we need to understand that this is more than simply Christian philosophy. Christ teaches us this because it is right. Florence Skelly, who's a researcher in business and industrial matters, writes that the battleground for business in the future will be human resources. That's going to be where the action is. Companies will have to compete with one another in people development, not just product development. The winners will be those that replace fear and suspicion with trust and mutual respect. She predicts that managers in the future will be measured both by economic waste and human waste. A manager's rate of turnover will become a major factor in determining whether or not he is promoted. Perhaps the balance sheet of the future will have a new column, she writes. People, profit development through people development, will be a clear goal for creative organizations. So then, if we're an employer, we see that Christ is telling us the truth. It pays to treat our employees in a Christian fashion. Now, what if we are employees? What we need to do here is to remember that Paul told us in quite some detail that we need to serve every kind of boss as if we were serving the Lord. Now, the number one obstacle here is not the boss. It's Satan. Satan doesn't like this because it's too evangelistic. He remembers what happened in the first 3 centuries after the Lord came. He remembered that from the employees up, too many were converted to Christ. And ultimately, a large majority of many parts of society were converted to Christ. So it's to Satan's advantage to keep us quarreling with each other. But the Apostle Paul promises Christians that even if we're just employees, we have the power to change things. Thus he wrote in Ephesians 3 and verse 20, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus." We can, with the right attitude, change things in the workplace, even if we have the worst boss of the ages. We see then that the way to improve the workplace is to treat each other as if we're dealing with the Savior, even though they may react as Satan. In many instances, things will remain the same for a while, except for us. If we are Christians, serving as if to Christ, we will quickly develop an inner peace that will greatly bless us, regardless of what continues to happen around us.